Hi, everybody. This is Kyle here from Experience Grind. I don't know where Ryan is, and right now, I really don't care.
I don't care either.
What I want to tell you guys is that usually these episodes will have a YouTube version as well, where we're talking to the camera. That didn't happen because when we did this episode so long ago, we didn't have YouTube. What we did instead was we filmed a certain side segment where Brooks took us through all the ropes of learning how to be professional wrestlers. We'd really like it if you'd actually go watch that because it really benefits from this episode. And you can find that on YouTube if you search for Experience Grind. I'll also have the link in the show title. We'll show it on the Facebook. So please find us and find this episode because it is really, really excellent work. Thank you, guys. And here we are with our interview with Brooks. Hello, I'm Kyle.
And I'm Ryan.
And when our powers combine, we form
Experience Grind Podcast.
The podcast where, for better or worse, good or bad, we will grind out every experience we encounter and give you our honest thoughts and opinions on that experience. Thank you very much for joining us, everybody. I want to go ahead and let's get our sponsors out of the way because I'm going to tie this in. Are you ready for this?
I guess I am.
Our sponsor is, as always,
Andre.
California Champagne. And what is our tagline for this year with Andre?
Well, in 2016, it's simple. Keep it epic.
With Andre. And
hashtag epic with Andre.
I would like to say, I think that you and I very recently both did one of the most epic things we ever could have.
In 2016.
In 2016, yeah. Who knows where it's going? Sky's the limit, baby, with this thing. We're riding it. But you and I took part in a professional wrestling training course.
We did.
And I think we definitely kept it epic with Andre there. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that in this episode, but we would like to just thank you again, Andre California Champagne, for your continued sponsorship and patronage. We this week we are drinking the cold duck variety. I think that's the name, right?
Cold duck? Is it cold or gold?
It says cold, I think, unless
it's cold duck.
The thing of the G fell off. But yeah, cold duck, it is, I believe it's the red wine version of a sparkling wine.
Sweet sparkling red.
It's not my favorite. It's not bad. I've never had a wine version, like a sparkling red wine of a champagne. That you usually encounter in the white variety.
All right. Well, guess what? Sponsor mode on. I've never had anything bad from Andre. It's all great. I love the blackberries and cherries I taste in it. It's so rich and aromatic. I can just smell it and taste it all at the same time.
Would you say it's epic?
I would say it is epic.
Thank you, Andre. We will keep it epic with Andre.
Hashtag epic with Andre.
2016, baby. So, we also have a guest this week.
We do.
The guest is the man that trained us in this professional wrestling endeavor, who is himself a very well-known amateur professional wrestler, and that's my good friend, Brooks Arnold.
Hey, what's up? What's up, podcast land? This is Brooks Arnold, a.k.a. Fixer. I trained these two gentlemen ever so slightly in the ways of professional wrestling, and it was a very, very fun experience for me.
It was something. So now, is Fixers, is that two X's or three?
That is three.
It is three, but it's not pornographically related, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
You might have your suspicions. I think I know where you're going with
this. Well, I just, you know, whenever you see triple X, especially during the 70s, 80s, and 90s, it generally meant pornography.
Or like alcohol. Didn't alcohol sometimes have the triple
like
X's on it?
In the early days Prohibition. Of cartoons, like the 50s and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like all the Looney Tunes had
like
triple
X. Like with the moonshine jugs
and
everything
they
like
all had
that.
Triple X. So what is the relation to the three X's? Let's get into that real
quick. Well, the actual name itself comes from, the song name Fixer by Metallica.
Okay,
As you knew in high school.
I'm not familiar with Metallica.
Brooks is a massive Metallica fan.
Was pretty much. I still listen occasionally, but yeah, more of a Seven Dust.
I knew I've known Brooks since high school, and I knew back then when I got in his car, I'm going to listen to Metallica.
Okay,
which back then was not a bad thing.
No, it's still not. Metallica's good for nostalgia reasons.
I mean, Saint Anger, right?
Oh, God.
One of the better albums.
Please, God, no. Oh, my God. Saint Anger?
I'll be the heel of this podcast.
Can I get Ryan back in the ring for just that comment right there?
Saint Anger.
Wow. I just know that's the last one they made, right? They haven't made one
since. No, they have Death Magnetic.
Oh,
shit. Which actually wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad. They toned Lars off the drums a little bit.
Oh, no. Rick Rubin produced two. Why are we talking about Metallica? We're going to talk about wrestling.
I mean, yes. S&M album, S&M.
I like S&M.
Outfits, wrestling. Six degrees of Metallica to wrestling.
You turned it around. I'll give you the bonus for that one. So, well done.
Drink break.
Yeah.
So, Fixer, though, it comes from the Metallica song?
Yeah, I looked at it and I was like, well, let's see what I can do to make that into a character. It was a great name.
Yeah.
I've not heard of anybody going by it. And it was... seemed like a good idea at the time, and I've been using it ever since.
Yeah.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, this was 6 years ago that you came up with this name for the character? Because that's when you started wrestling?
That's when I kind of debuted it. I've had this kicking around in my head. I've been a lifelong fan of wrestling for a long time. I mean, lifelong, like I said. Kind of redundant, but... So, I've been wanting to wrestle since... I turned 18. I was initially going to go to a wrestling school if I couldn't, after I got kicked out of IU. But I was like, well, nah, I need to get a degree first. So I went, I got my most of the way through, then I got married, which kind of put a roadblock there. But then around, 25, I think it was, when I turned 25.
About 6 years ago.
Yeah, so I came across the guy. He was... we did a little bit of, backyard stuff. We just kind of practiced. He had a homemade ring set up. We did some things there. But we ended up drawing the attention of a guy named Dynamite Derek, who he helped train a guy that started off in the backyard with us. He went to Ohio Valley Wrestling, which at the time was... highly influential with independent wrestling, moving up to WWE and TNA wrestling. And so
it was kind of like the minor leagues, like in baseball, people could kind of come and scout that out and then see if they were ready for the next level.
Yeah. Jim Cornette, used to he frequents that place, but then again, he also lives in Louisville too. So it was a no brainer because OVW is based in Louisville. So what ended up happening is that we put on, a couple little shows for some friends and whatnot. And he saw me and he thought it was like, well, this guy's, about 6 foot, close to knocking on the door 300 pounds and can move really good.
I will attest to that. I have never seen anybody move like you, Brooks, and it is mind blowing.
Yeah.
And I can't wait for people to see it on YouTube. I'm still blown away thinking about it. Like, I couldn't move like that.
How quickly you would jump back on your back and then get up to your feet and do it again, you were...
Dude, to see a 6-pound, 300-pound man, like, just flip in the air, I'm like, dude, like, gymnasts do this shit, and you're just popping it out like it's nothing.
I don't even think I could do it on a trampoline.
It's mind-blowing. Like, yeah,
on a trampoline, I couldn't do it.
I cannot wait to see it again. It was good stuff, man. So, yeah. You know what you're doing.
Well, to be honest, I've never actually seen myself do it. So, I've only, experienced the first-person view of it. So, I've not actually seen what I look like when I do this stuff. When I do the, bumps and anything like that. So, I'd be interested to see that, too.
And I will say, that is also something I noticed, because I got suplexed, and that was so disorienting when it happened, just because I knew what was going to happen, but experiencing it, it's so otherworldly almost, like it's just, wasn't in control, but I was fine, but it was still, it's like, next thing I know, I'm on my back with no power of my own. All I remember was doing a little hop as you instructed me, and then boom. And it was such a weird experience to have that happen.
Yeah, it's one of the things that you'll learn real quickly is that you're not used to going head over heels.
Yeah.
And it is disorienting the first few times that you do it, and it's just repetition, practice, 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 and that's the only way to get over it, really. Some people take to it like a duck to water. I mean, case in point, during that whole training session, you, with your trainings, you've had some martial arts and stuff like
you,
that.
You being Kyle.
I'm referring, referencing Kyle. Sorry, I'm getting used to the
visual.
I'm so used to the visual side of things that if I'm pointing at Kyle here, I'm not used to just doing audio. So this is a new experience for me.
It's good to see you out of your element and in our zone now. Yeah. This is our world, Grandma.
No, though you say like, oh man, you are so out of your element, Kyle. But like Brooks is right. Like you kind of took to it very, very quickly and very easily. It wasn't like me who was like flopping around like a fish.
It was
all day.
As we did record this for YouTube, and every time that you were up, I would laugh and I would walk over to Tyler and I'd be like, dude, we are getting gold. And he'd be like, yes, we are.
Yeah, as that was going on, I was sitting there looking over at the promoter and he was just kind of blocking his mouth from smiling. And I was sitting there kind of cracking up.
It's good to see some.
The few trainees that were cleaning up outside the ring were snickering. So, I mean,
that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be crazy.
It's going to be a great visual.
Like, you're going to be the highlight of the video. Like,
I'm an entertainer in a different way.
Exactly,
I'm like Kramer. I'm the fool.
Exactly. And it was beautiful. And I loved every second of you out there in that ring. And, God, I can't wait to see more of it.
The one thing I'm going to give Ryan for sure on this one is that he stuck with it.
Oh, my God, yes, he did.
I was, you know, going into this, I was really concerned.
I was, too.
For me,
Ryan.
Too.
Yeah.
Me, too.
Because I was like, well, first of all, I know Laura. I don't want her to kill me. Or maybe she might say, all right, good job. Thank you for smacking the crap out of her a little bit.
Line.
So, but I was concerned with you on, you know, everything in general. I was like, well, how is he going to handle this? How is he going to take this? No offense, but he did. Yeah, he didn't give up. He didn't strike me as athletic at all. And if
that's fair.
I mean,
that's a fair assessment.
That's fair.
I've not heard of any sports in your history. So,
T-ball, pretty aggressive T-ball player at the age of five.
They called him the Mauler.
I did Taekwondo until I got beat up by a girl, and then I quit.
Ooh. I played football in junior high until I got tackled the first time, and then I cried and quit the team and became a manager.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Oh, I was pathetic.
Oh, good. So I'm not the only one who had sports stories as a young kid.
I was, but I also at that time.
Wait, if you were a manager, how old were you?
It would have been 7th or 8th
grade. It was 7th grade.
Okay.
I weighed 40 pounds. I was a very tiny. I did not hit a growth spurt until I was a sophomore in high school.
Can verify.
Yeah.
He was a short, scrawny kid. Still fairly scrawny, though, throughout high school.
I was always a stick until I put on the weight the past 2 years.
Mm.
It's not bad. I'm only I'm like 30 pounds over what I should be. I'll work that off, or I'll just keep drinking myself until one of those two will happen.
Well, you know, if you want to step back into the ring, get some more training, I'm more than willing to help you work that off.
What sucked, like, if I didn't have so many other endeavors I was entitled to, I would probably actually give wrestling a go because I did have fun and I did, you know, I'm not bragging, but I did feel I took to it pretty well. Like, I kind of had an idea what was going on. I knew what to do. I thought I could sell it pretty well.
Well, I mean, that was, I'm going to be quite honest, that was not your typical wrestling training. That was a little bit more abbreviated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Toned down due to the time constraints
we crammed it all into about 2 hours.
I crammed in, like, a lot of that stuff. You guys probably would have just done, you know, back bumps the first day.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And rest of that, you know, most training classes will also take you through cardio and, you know, your calisthenics, that sort of thing.
I figured there'd be like running back and forth or something.
There's a lot of stuff, and the whole point is to get you to quit. That is the whole point of wrestling training, to see if you can actually stick with it.
That makes sense.
I've been through it. It's grueling. So it is. I mean, a lot of the guys I've wrestled, they've been through this stuff. I've wrestled guys from OVW that, you know, they take to this training. I've wrestled one guy that actually went to the Performance Center in Miami, who, under the WWE, he went there to get his shot to move on. Unfortunately, he had to back out due to a health concern. But, you know, these guys, they take it seriously. And I mean, that I wanted to give that, give you guys just a taste mm-hmm. of what they, you know, these guys give up every day.
Well, I mean, I know Ryan felt this way, and I definitely did too. Like, I've watched wrestling as a kid, but, and you know, I knew that it took a lot to do, but getting in there and doing it, man, is just, it's such a completely different beast. The hell those guys go through on a daily, like, I can't even, you know, a professional wrestler, like somebody on the WWE is something, they're a super caliber athlete. I mean, they're training constantly, but still the physical toll that has to take on somebody, especially somebody that big, like, mm-hmm. I couldn't imagine, and they got to do it every week.
Yeah, it was much more difficult than I imagined.
Yeah,
as I watched wrestling a little bit as a kid, I don't remember the bumps or anything. Like I didn't really notice it when I saw wrestling, but I did see like a real world Road Rules challenge, which is embarrassing in of itself, where they went to a wrestling.
Depending on
camp.
What season?
Well, I don't know, but they were doing the back bumps, and I remember watching this as like a 14-year-old. I was like, that's so easy. Like, why are they not able to do it? And then we had to do it, and for the audio listeners, a back bump is you kind of keep your legs shoulder width apart, bend your knees, and then you kind of fall back.
Fall square on your back.
Yeah. Flat on your back, and you stretch your arms out. I could not do any of this after 18 tries, and I think I got like...
You had two.
Good enough
is
what I came across with. I completed good enough, but I would never say like I did a good back bump.
You did.
I'm not fishing for compliments.
You did acceptable back bumps in
for a first timer.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I'm definitely not fishing
nothing,
for compliments.
Nothing athletic just behind you at all.
Yeah,
they weren't bad. I've seen some worse.
Some of them were pretty bad though. Some of them were comical.
Some of them
I couldn't
were,
get my leg to stop.
Some
kicking.
Of them were freaking atrocious. I was like, what am I doing? How am I going to get this guy through this?
That's how I felt. What but am I did, doing? Man, I can't. Again,
but
I can't fall.
Yeah. One of like I said though, you stuck through it. I mean,
yeah, your tenacity won the day, man. It was
the story of this YouTube episode that's going to go out.
I mean, I'm essentially Tiny Tim of our wrestling episode. My heart wins out, but my legs did not.
Yeah.
My legs did no favors for me.
It was very superhero-esque, your commitment to this bit, and I applaud you.
Well, thank you. Again, not fishing for compliments.
No, you're
not.
Don't
need it.
I'm not heaping them on you, but I was just very glad you did that. You were also very funny. I have never...
Oh, it's funny, Kyle. When somebody asks me to do something, I do it.
Yeah. Oh. Oh.
I do it. All
oh,
of
that's going to be... That's going to tie in the future. Call out. Super, super advanced call out.
Shots fired.
Okay. So I want to turn this back around.
Am I going to have to referee this here?
It's
do
funny.
Do I need to put on a striped shirt, get you two in the ring, and then let you guys go at this or what? Come on.
When did you move here with your wife?
Oh, 2013, I believe.
So, like, 3 years you guys have been around here. So, I've known you 3 years, and we've become really good friends this last...
Yeah, pretty close to when
year.
I moved.
Yeah. I have never in that time seen you run.
I don't. I have. I have in the past. That's a lie. I have.
Seeing you run in the ring, I nearly had tears in my eyes.
In fairness.
Okay, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, because you were so concerned about me heaping compliments, I want to get this out there, too. Like,
I was super concerned.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to do everything exactly right. One, Brooks started the morning, like, scaring us.
He did.
Talking about,
you.
Like,
like
the respect and, like, taking it super seriously and, like, the shaking the hand stuff. It all intimidated the hell out of me. So I wanted to make sure, like, I did the best job possible. So when he was talking about you have to do 1, 2, 3, fall, I was counting every single step and making sure I had the perfect... And it threw off my... I couldn't...
And you were also reaching... Because you have to grab the rope with your right arm. You turn to the right every time. What was that rule? I didn't fully understand that.
So
you feed your left?
Yes.
Okay. So, like... If you're doing a move, I would give you my left side.
Right.
But if I'm running the ropes, I turn to the right. Like, why the differentiation?
Typically, it's the most dominant hand for majority.
Of people is the people. Right?
Yeah, is right. Anyway. That's,
okay.
As far as why that happens, the only reasons I can give you for sure, because I'm not 100% on this one, but that's my lack of knowledge. Derek, you can chop me later. Derek's my trainer. But the one things that one of the things I do know is that we work, you work the left. In Mexico, they work the right.
Okay. Mm.
So there's, depending on what styles of wrestling. So you have your various styles. You have, I typically wrestle a more, slightly more of a, what's called a Memphis style.
Okay.
I'm a less is more kind of guy, but, you know, I'm typically bigger than most of my opponents anyway, so.
You're more like a powerhouse. Like
I'm a powerhouse brawler with,
I got, yeah.
I've got a bit of a, some submission skills too that I've not used a whole lot, but I know quite a few.
You did slap that leg lock on me.
Yes, I did slap
Was that the crab?
That was the scorpion death.
That scorpion death lock. That's what it was. I couldn't think of it. I thought you were going for the figure four at first.
I know of three variations, and all of them are kind of painful.
Well, but here's the you slapped me in the scorpion death lock. Did not hurt at all.
Yeah.
But I could have sold. Yeah. I mean, if you'd really, but I expected it to hurt even when you were like somewhat sitting on me, but I could have sold the hell out of that and made people think like, oh man, he's got that move on tight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but again, I trusted you when you were in control. It was just, it's one of those, it's peeling back that curtain just a little bit more for me, seeing everything go on behind the scenes. I really like that part of this.
Yeah. It's, you know, it is what it is, but I mean, you know, there's slight tweaks I could have done to make that really, really painful.
Oh, I would imagine. Absolutely.
Wrenching back a little bit more on that ankle would have, that would have hurt really badly. Figure four leg locks, I don't care. Those are painful regardless.
Really? Okay.
Specifically the three that I know. So the regular one. There's also a variation called the Nagata lock, made famous by Yuji Nagata from Japan. Anything from Japan is going to hurt. I'm just going to tell you that now.
Japan is, that's where like the real hardcore stuff started and then migrated over here.
It's been around actually several places. Mexico has their fair share as well. And Japan obviously had the more famous stuff at the time, but there's several deathmatch companies that are around too.
Well, in Japan, if I remember right, and you know, I know some about wrestling. When that's how you and I kind of became friends is because as a freshman, I was really into wrestling, and that was during the Attitude Era. And that's what it's called, correct?
That is what that era was called. You had the rise of Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock,
Mankind.
Triple H was starting to gain height there with Generation X.
Yeah, I remember those guys. And actually, at that time, my favorite wrestler was in D-Generation X, and that was the Road Dogg.
Mm-hmm.
I really like that guy a lot. I don't know why. He was always in the tag teams with Billy Gunn.
Yeah. And he still works for them, actually. And they actually, the New Age Outlaws last year had a nice resurgence.
Yeah.
And Billy Gunn is actually going to be in Indy next weekend.
Doing an event? Or?
Yeah, he's doing a show for a promotion up there.
Nice.
So
I just recently, you know, I go to local events around here especially, and they had the Great Sabu at the last one I went to, and that was really mind-blowing to see that guy, because he's one of the all-time old greats, too, so it's just cool to see those old guys still out there doing it.
Yeah, I mean, and that's one of the cool things about doing the independents, is that I get to meet some of these old guys. I've missed a few. I missed Rikishi by a week.
Damn.
Which that would have been hilarious, because I mean most of these guys are great to talk to. I've met Hacksaw Jim Duggan, spent time with him in the locker room. That was by far like one of the best experiences I've had so far with in terms of like someone I've watched growing up. I've met some more recent wrestlers as well and spent some time with them. I'm not going to name drop them because they're still fairly active and I still work with them, but yeah, I mean, I've not really had a terrible experience so far. And most of the time I hear of like bitter experiences from some people, but you know, I put in I get out of it what I put into it, and I've, you know, put in positive. I've got a fairly good reputation. So, I mean, as a nice-ish kind of guy, I guess.
Yeah, I can see that.
So. Yeah, definitely. Oh, I've got nothing to say. I know none of these people. No.
I know Rikishi. Rikishi was kind of a
The name sounds familiar.
He was a big dude. He was a bigger dude, one of the Samoans. He actually started early on. I can't remember which WrestleMania he was in, but he was part of the Head Shrinkers.
I remember them.
He was with cuz okay. at the time he was known as Fatu with his I don't remember his relation, but the other guy was Samu, and they were the current incarnation, because I think there were Head Shrinkers before either that or Wild Samoans. I can't remember.
What is it that hooks you in and appeals to you with wrestling in general? I mean, I have floated in and out of it.
Are we talking about just like watching, not necessarily watching and participating?
And participating, like, you know, because it takes a certain infatuation or enjoyment to want to take it to that level to start participating. And, you know, I grew up, I watched Hogan and Warrior, and I watched them all the time. And then I kind of float out of it. And then I got back into it in the mid to late 90s. And then, again, I float out of it. But you've stayed pretty constant your whole life.
Yeah, what happened was when I was younger, I knew of Hulk Hogan, I knew of the Ultimate Warrior, you know. I was about the time the Ultimate Warrior was flowing out, I started watching again, and it was around WrestleMania 10, I think, is when I really got hooked back into it. And the match
For a reference real quick, what WrestleMania are they at now? Is it 30-something?
This will be WrestleMania 32.
32. Okay. So 22 years ago,
yes.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I started watching wrestling on... cartoons went off on a Saturday morning or Sunday morning or something, and then WWE came on. At the time, WWF.
Yeah.
So yeah. I was watching a match. They were going over... what ended up being one of my favorite titles around that time was the Intercontinental Championship. At the time, I was watching what was a battle royal, and then there was a singles match with the two guys that were left. The two guys in the ring were a guy named Irwin R. Scheister, IRS, and Razor Ramon.
Oh, I've always liked Razor.
But before
you go on this tangent, I've always been... What is an Intercontinental belt? Like, what's the difference in that? And like, I know what the world heavyweight belt is and all that. What?
So the Intercontinental title at that time and currently is the stepping stone to get to the your world heavyweights, your WWE titles.
Okay.
So it's kind of a proving ground.
You generally have to own that one before you can take a shot at the next one.
Typically.
Okay. But, I mean, once you're established, then not, like...
And actually, case in point here, whenever you were in WCW at that time, whenever you were they had the United States Championship, whenever you won that title, that gave you a shot to their World Heavyweight title.
Okay.
So.
Okay. So, so you're back in... You're
gonna IRS get in, and Razor Jim Ramon.
Just Razor Ramon.
Razor Ramon. Yeah. No Jim.
Yeah. Right. No. he was...
Or I got Jim. Sorry.
Yeah, he's... Yeah, he was the bad guy, Razor Ramon. I loved as soon as I saw him, that finishing move, the Razor's Edge, I was like, this is freaking awesome. So I got hooked. And then him and Shawn Michaels ended up putting on, to this day, it's still one of the best ladder matches of all time.
Hmm. I've not seen that match. In my personal opinion, and I expressed this to you, during training, I still think the best wrestling match I've ever seen in my entire life is The Undertaker and Mankind Hell in the Cell.
Yeah.
Was that the one where he took that huge fall from the top?
Yeah, dude.
I actually watched that one.
That is one of the craziest, most insane things I've ever seen in my life, mm-hmm. period. And it's exciting from beginning to end. And it just, the levels keep amping up and you're like, it can't get any crazier than this. And then, holy shit, it absolutely does. And then there's a level beyond that it'll go to, too.
Yeah.
It's something that I can't believe a human body endured repeatedly.
And again, Mick Foley got in one more Hell in a Cell match after that with Triple H, where he again got flipped through the ring, or flipped through the top of the cell, fell through the ring. The ring broke.
Okay, yeah.
And it was that just, too, yeah. I was like, gosh, how can this guy still walk?
Dude, it's insane.
And after doing that, I kind of understand where he's coming from, although I'd have to get paid quite a bit to do some of that stuff, but at the same time though, I know where he's coming from, and there is a desire whenever you're out there to leave it all out there. You want to leave this crowd wanting so much more.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that just you get addicted to. You know, Kyle, if you're a bit of an entertainer yourself with your band and
musically, yeah.
You know, so you kind of know what I'm talking about a little bit. That
it's not as taxing on the body, but
you know the euphoria.
Yeah.
Being out there,
yeah.
giving these people something and just feeding off of what they've got.
Anyway, you know, on the other hand too, if you're out there and the crowd sucks ass, then it's a terrible night for everybody. Like, a lot of it, what you do is dependent on the crowd and the crowd's reaction. So
yeah, but that's at the same time, that's where, you know, the wrestler, they learn to adapt to that situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, that's one of the things that I think I do. I try to get a reaction every time. You know, if the crowd sucks, well, I'm just going to go out there and kind of, you know, give them a little bit. You know, I'll. Because I'm going to go out there and, you know, I point out one guy in the crowd. He's obviously very dirty looking, you know, in some of these places. You know, tell him he needs a shower. I've got some soap in the back. Go take care of that and whatnot. And, you know, all of a sudden they're getting back into it a little bit. And I beat up the guy in the ring a little bit more. And they really want to see me get my butt kicked.
So yeah. Are you the heel usually? Are you usually, like, the bad guy?
Yes, I am. One of the fun things about being me is that I could actually be me times 10.
Yeah.
I speak my mind quite a bit.
Okay, so you'd say there's a little bit of this character inside you that
there
you
has to
play
be.
On.
Some of the best characters are not really characters at all. They are something that just you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I go out there, I want to speak my mind. I want to tell people what I think. And, you know, I'm a little bit arrogant. I'll be quite honest. So I go out there with a lot of arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
I tell people off quite a bit. So I go out there and I do it more. I have a mean streak.
Mm.
And if I'm in the ring, I get really, really mean. I focus on someone and I tear them apart. I mean, I've done that in high school wrestling, and that's what I do in the ring now. So,
okay,
it's a lot of fun. It's liberating.
I will never get on your bad side.
Therapeutic, if I must say.
But you'll keep him on the good side. Yeah, it's a good man to have in your corner in a tag team match. Can I get a high five on that
you
one?
You can get a high Woo! Five. Hey, look at that. That actually connected.
Yeah, of course.
That's not something I typically hear on the podcast whenever it's Kyle and Ryan.
I mean, this is my super athletic buddy over here. Let's get one over here.
I don't know if I can over the mic.
Woo! There it is.
Okay, connection. Woo!
Well, so we're usually like way Andre deep into it. We're usually Andre as fuck by the time we start high-fiving.
Keep it epic with Andre 2016.
Indeed, epic with Andre. Hashtag fixer is epic with Andre.
So, you know, when
yeah, there you go.
When we wrestled, because of our affiliation with Champagne, you wrestled under the moniker the Champagne Supernova.
Oh, you're talking to me.
Yeah, yes. I'm talking to you. I thought that was a pretty good name.
I was Champagne Supernova, parentheses, sponsored by Andre.
Yeah, that's right. You had the sponsored by Andre.
I had to say that every time my name was said.
It was good. If they don't pick us up as full-time sponsors, they are ridiculous.
Don't sound desperate on the air like
that. No, I'm just saying.
Just let it play cool. Like a girl. Just play
edit
cool.
That out.
Yeah, edit out that desperation. Edit out that sad desperation.
There was a lot of desperation.
I didn't think it was desperate. I was saying if they didn't do it, it was ridiculous because we are actually such big fans. But sure, if you want to call it desperation, I can see that. But so. I thought that, I mean, I came up with that name.
That was a great name.
It's a tieback to Oasis, one of the great bands of the 90s. You know that, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say they were one of the great bands. They had like two hits, Wonderwall and Champagne Supernova.
There it is. Oh, but you knew the song.
Yeah. Oh, I absolutely knew it.
Yeah. I mean, they're not fantastic.
They were great bands. Like, Fastball was a great band. Because I can name just as many Fastball songs. The Way and...
I can't name any Fastball songs. So
the other one.
If you start singing Wonderwall, everybody
totally listened to so much different stuff to you guys. But then again, I was raised a little bit more older, so you know I had some Led Zeppelin, Pink Floyd.
Oh no, I had that. Too.
And then I started venturing into obviously Metallica, Megadeth, and then
were you a Tool kid?
Not as much, but you know I listened every once in a while.
Okay,
my long time, actually a little bit longer than Metallica, surprisingly enough, has been Seven Dust.
Really? Okay, now that I can really get behind. I've always loved Seven Dust.
Yeah,
so.
They've
I don't know a single song they sing.
One of their best is Tits on a Boar, I feel. I love that song.
That one's good. My current favorite right now has
to be...
They got
a new record coming out, don't they?
I don't remember, actually. I think there's another one.
They're
doing another one. And... Actually, one of the other bands I got into was when the Lowry Brothers actually got together and helped form Dark New Day. Their first album was good. Their second album, not so much, but it was okay.
So,
back into wrestling.
Yeah, we're. I mean, I'm not very good at my segues, but they're there. So this is a segue.
I'm very good at tangents. I'm not good at segues.
How long do you see yourself doing this?
To be honest, I'm getting older. I'm dedicating more time to. I've got a couple good runs I want to do.
Yeah,
I have a couple matches in mind that I really want to get through. One of them is with a friend of mine who currently wrestles for OVW.
Sound editor Andrew is not going to get mad at you because he's seen you in the ring. He knows what you'll do.
Well,
he'll give us dirty looks all day.
Yeah, sound engineer Andrew has also known me just as long too, and I respect sound engineer Andrew. That is very hard to say five times fast.
Right, it is.
So, but I'm still going to try to say it. Sound engineer Andrew, I am sorry for dropping stuff. Anyway, back on to topic. Now, I've seen some people, they do this for quite a while, and I respect the heck out of them for that. My current actual job is starting to get a little bit more demanding. I've got to go back to school, get another degree, and actually get a bachelor's out of this one. So I figure I probably got maybe 2-3 more years left.
Oh, really?
And plus, a lot of these guys, when they get older, and they've done this as... you know, every day of their lives, they are kind of broken down.
Yeah, like I mean, it's very much like one of my favorite movies that didn't make the list, but Aronofsky's The Wrestler.
I've seen The Wrestler.
Such a great movie. And
that is a great movie. There's also a few documentaries. Beyond the Mat shows a little bit more behind the scene. You know, some of these guys just get kind of broken down.
Yeah, I mean,
You know, my wife doesn't want me to be that way. I've got 4 kids.
Yeah.
I mean, I want to be able to, you know, keep up with them. You know, I've got 3 boys. One of them is a little bit more on the academic side, but the other two are a little bit more physical. Maybe want to do some stuff in terms of that. I may actually go into wrestling, coaching wrestling.
High school wrestling.
Roman. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, is that Greco-Roman?
No, I believe the term for that is, well, I've heard it called folk style.
Okay.
There's 3 styles that I am aware of.
I also took wrestling in junior high and had to quit in 8th grade because I was against a kid 100 pounds more than me who fell on me and broke my rib.
I was actually a part of that wrestling team in junior high.
Yeah.
Was Brooks. No, oh my God.
It wasn't Brooks. I remember who it was. It was this big smelly kid, and I didn't want to partner up with him, but nobody else did. And I was so little, there was nobody else for me. So they're like, hey, just run some drills with him. And he didn't know.
I don't remember that, actually. I think I remember some kid getting hurt, but I didn't know that was you.
Broke my rib. It's still broken. You can still see it. Like, it healed like this, and I'm making a point like a teepee. listeners. Yeah.
So you can see like a little a protrusion, like a little
You could see a lot more of it when I was skinnier.
Note to listeners, here after the podcast, we're going to have to get Kyle shirtless so I can see this.
We can do that on the podcast.
We can do this on the podcast, but unfortunately you won't be able to see it.
We won't.
Maybe we can get pictures. I don't know.
Kyle's putting his foot down. No.
No, so, not happening. Dang it.
I think one more question here. Are you going to make another run for the belt?
Because
you recently were the champion and then lost.
I've actually been the champion for two promotions.
Okay.
At the same time. That was fun and interesting. Because obligations and everything. Sometimes I'd run back-to-back weekends and everything. It was fun. But yeah, I think I have a shot coming up.
Cool.
I'm not going to say anything there. So, but the current champion is, pretty good. He's an OVW guy, so I've got my work cut out for me on that one, and I've got to keep up with him on that. But like I said, I've been, I had a rough 2015 with my mom passing away, my wife's grandpa passing away within a month of each other. So 2015, I spent mostly down in the dumps and kind of let myself go a little bit. But I started off this year, I've lost 10 pounds already. I'm trying to get my cardio back up because I used to be able to go. That was one of the things I prided myself on is that, hey, I'm, big 200 at the time, 295 pound guy. Mm-hmm. And I could go just as long as anybody else.
Yeah.
But, I've let myself go a little bit and I couldn't go as hard, and that was like I need to switch some things up, and I've started kicking it, and it's been I've been getting less tired in the ring, and it's been great.
Awesome.
So I've got this year, I've got a big run coming up that, at least for me personally, it's going to be a different year.
Mm-hmm. Well, good, man.
So we'll see how things go.
I would hope, I'd like for me and Ryan to actually be able to come see you do an actual full match. I think that would be interesting too. And
I mean,
you're a cool guy. What you do, you're really fucking good at. I want to see you do it for real. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen some little YouTube things, but it's not been full matches. I've seen some things like that.
Yeah.
And of course, we were in the ring with you. We saw what you can do. I would like to see this put into real play and real practice at some point in the future before you get out of it. Hopefully, maybe on your next belt run, man. That'd be awesome. So,
yeah. Well, the promotion I work for, IWX, Indie Wrestling Extreme,
who were great guys, and thank you guys for letting us come in and do this.
Yes.
Yeah, they were excellent at that, letting me, take you guys into our world a little bit and kind of show you guys that this is not, this is not something you just walk into.
And the guy that heads his name was Spider, correct?
Yeah, Spider Murphy.
Yeah, Spider.
He was the head?
Yeah. He was the one that sets it all up. So
yeah, he's
so thank you. I met him. He was really nice. I didn't know he was the head though.
Yeah.
Spider, thank you very much for allowing us to do this.
Yeah. Hopefully we provide you with some entertainment.
Yeah, and everybody at IWX.
So
some laughs.
Sick boy?
Sick man.
Sick man. Who was also very helpful, and was it Dylan?
Yeah, Dylan.
What's
Static,
his,
I think. Is
Static? Is his wrestling name?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Dylan was also very nice.
Yeah, all of you guys.
Waved us off as we left.
Yeah, very, very nice, very helpful. So thank you guys all so much.
Yeah. So in that vein, February 6th, because I got suspended, actually, for next weekend.
In real or for...
Why would I tell you that?
I don't know.
They just suspended me because apparently, you're not allowed to beat up the owner with a crutch.
Okay.
Especially when he's wearing a cast on his leg, and I was beating said cast. So the owner, the actual owner of the building, suspended me for that. So that was fun and interesting. But so the next show I will be at is February 6th. They are running another show on the 30th down in Memphis, Indiana. So
awesome, man. Well,
Brooks, always check out my Facebook for information.
I have
my personal page. I'm not going to necessarily give that out, but if you're friends of me already, you already know that I always plug my wrestling on my page. But also look for Fixer's Facebook page. I do have my own Facebook page. I have a logo created by a friend of mine in Canada. Amber Peters, if you're listening, thank you so much for creating that logo. Has my nice little tagline underneath it.
What is your tagline?
The tagline underneath it says, "You are the problem. I'm the solution."
Ooh, that's very good.
That is very good.
I need, if you guys happen to know some guys that can make some sweet t-shirts, please get with me.
I actually do know a guy. I'll get you his information right after this.
Okay, because I need to get some shirts out of this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's fantastic. I'll have to show you guys the logo here
later.
We'll
link that too, you know, on our Facebook, on the podcast, when we'll put the Fixers page on there so people can find it. So, anything you got?
I want to thank, first of all, I want to thank my wife for putting up with me doing this, because, quite honest, not every woman wants to hear out of her husband's mouth, "You know what? I want to do wrestling."
I think my wife would be very happy if I came home one day and said that. It's not going to happen, though, sadly for her.
But Laura is a rare special breed, as is Holly.
Yeah, my wife is, she's been, a lot of help. You know, she doesn't necessarily like it, but she does support me.
There you go. That's all you got.
So that's good. That's great. You know, she's always worried about me getting hurt, coming home limping one day, and I've come home, I've tweaked my knee, I've may still have a bruised rib, I think, a little bit. It still hurts to sneeze. Top rope diving headbutts for 300-pound guys, probably not great, but, she's been a dream to deal with in that regard, and I still tick her off with it every once in a while, but
you should with any wife.
Yeah,
should
tick them off.
Oh yeah, keep them on the toes.
Relationship advice from Kyle that you should never take.
Sound engineer Andrew knows what I'm talking about.
He's shaking his head
in complete disagreement.
Since in this regard, I think actually I have probably the most experience in this room in terms of dealing with a wife. I've been married 11 years, guys. So,
you have me
just by a little bit.
Just by a little bit.
You know, maybe I think I may have combined total beat in here. So
I think you do.
But yeah, let me tell you something. As long as the wife is smaller than you, it's okay. In your case, given that Laura is more athletic than you.
Oh, she could kick my ass very easily.
So she'll snap you like a twig.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I could see that.
Yeah, I don't start fights with Laura.
So, but I want to thank my wife. I want to thank everybody that I've dealt with in this business who've inspired me to move forward. My trainer, Derek, he's been guiding me through this. He still works with me. If I ever need anything, I just give him a call, and he's always there. I've got several other guys I'm not going to name, but they know who they are. So, my buddy, actually one other one I'm going to name, my buddy SK, who's been, kind of pushing me. He's the one that I want to have one of my last matches with.
Nice.
So, and he currently wrestles for OVW. So, but it's been a great, great experience. Not everybody can say that they've lived their dream. In some form, I've got to live my dream. I didn't have aspirations to get to, the top level. But if I could help people get there,
excellent.
That's fine with me, because everybody, if I'm just a little bit of a step ladder to help them excel a little bit, that's fine.
It's a great attitude, man.
I'm just here because I love wrestling.
Doing what
in any way, shape, or form.
Well, Brooks, man, I really want to thank you for everything you did for us, bringing us in, training us, coming in to talk to us on the show, letting us film everything. It was, I never had the dream of wrestling, but it was definitely a really fun time. As soon as you offered it to us, I was so hoping Ryan would be into it, because it's something that I don't know any other reason I would ever have had to get into a ring and do that. And so
now when you came up with the idea for this podcast, I was like, hey, you know what? I've got this great idea. And you guys ran with it, or at least Kyle did at first. I don't know how.
Ryan was into it as soon as I mentioned it. He said it would be, I can't get excited about it, but I will do it. And if nothing else,
I think that was the exact quote.
He has left this with an experience, as have I, and as of you, I hope.
Yeah. I mean, it was, It was fun kind of getting you guys in there and doing these things, because, you know, I got to see it from my trainer's perspective. Now I can understand some of his frustrations at times and several trainers that I've dealt with. So, you know, not necessarily with me, but, you know,
starting off this podcast, when I broached it to Ryan, I was like, you know, we love video games, we love movies, let's name it the Experience Grind, and then on top of that, we can do these experiences. And I don't think Ryan took that part so seriously at first.
Nope, I didn't think it was gonna happen,
but it definitely hit home now. But it wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad at all.
Exactly, it wasn't bad at all. And it, you know, we're not gonna do them.
The worst part was having to wake up early on a Saturday.
Yeah.
That was the worst.
Yeah, and we did. But more so we got through that.
That was mild compared to some of the things I've done. I travel out of state. I still hold a Kentucky wrestling license, and, you know, some of those all-day trips, baby. I mean, you've got to go. I mean, there's some other guys. I know of several guys. They do this all week.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They go all the way out really from Illinois. Down to Kentucky, up to Ohio, back in Indiana. I mean, they make some trips.
So these people you're talking about, it's like their career. This is
what
they
there are people that make a living doing that at this level. And, you know, some of them do it well. There's a few that actually, you know, one in particular that I know of from Chicago area, actually. He actually does his own podcast, too. I have yet to meet him, although I've wanted to. The guys seem pretty cool.
Well, hey, now you got to end with it.
Do you want to throw out the name of his podcast?
The podcast is actually The Art of Wrestling by Colt Cabana.
I know Colt Cabana. I've heard of that name.
Yeah, I think he was down in Bloomington a couple times.
Yeah, for the
promotion down here.
Exactly, yeah, that's what
he's, you know, the guy seems pretty, he makes his money. I mean, yeah, makes a living doing this.
He's good at it. Good.
So does overseas trips and all that.
So Colt Cabana, this is Brooks Arnold.
Yeah.
He really. I get tripped up on saying the last names, because I don't know if people want me to say last names. But you're the wrestler, so you want.
We can do an.
Brooks Arnold is a great, fantastic wrestler. Great personality.
The Fixer. With three X's.
The Fix Triple Xer.
Ironically enough, my Twitter is also. FI3XER.
It's like the number
three. The number three.
Ah, I like that.
Because, you know, you can't, you know, you got to keep it a little bit real. And I was like, well, this way they know there's three X's.
There you go. Well, we'll put that in the thing too when we promote this episode. We'll get it on the Facebook.
We'll even tweet. And I will
tag him in these tweets. I'll get you guys connected. But again, I just want to thank you, Brooks, for everything.
Yes,
it was a great time, man. And, We'll get out there, man. We'll see you in the ring before you retire. I promise you.
Definitely. So, I've enjoyed doing this. So,
everybody, thank you for sticking around and listening to this. This was a great first of our interview episodes and the first real experiences.
I feel like Dan Rather over here.
Oh, yeah, man.
I'm Dan Rather as fuck right now.
You are Dan Rather as fuck. That's our new hashtag. I'm Dan Rather as fuck, man.
At least for the interview segments. that would work well.
Thank you, everybody. We are, as always, the Experience Grind podcast. You can find us at
experiencegrind.com to find all of our episodes. You can also like us on facebook.com/experiencegrind. And you can find Kyle running an excellent Twitter campaign over at twitter.com/expgrindpodcast.
Or the @ expgrindpodcast.
There you go.
We also have a new one we're going to start promoting pretty regularly, because I do it pretty regularly now. We also have a Twitch channel if you're into watching a really dorky guy play video games and laugh at his really dumb friends as they also play them together. A lot of times one of those friends will be Ryan as well. Yeah. And that is twitch.tv/ The Experience Grind Podcast. Mm-hmm. I believe is the name. If it's not, we'll fix it in post. But thank you guys very much, and we'll hear from you soon.
Bye-bye.